Okay, so the Hanukkah Shel Pesach has different components. The reason it's called Seder is because things are run in order. And there are different components that need to be considered when you go through Haggadah. The first component of Haggadah is the preparation before Maggid, meaning Haggadah revolves around three things. There are three focal points of, not Haggadah, I'm sorry, the Seder. Seder has three focal points. One point is Haggadah, which talks about the whole Yetziat Mitzrayim. Second point are the mitzvot of the night, which is Matzah and Maror and Shulchan Orech, because it's Yom Tov, so you have a meal. Including Afikoman, which is Zecher LeKorban Pesach, that's eating. And then you have Halel. That's the third component. These are the three focal points of the Seder of Pesach. Whatever else we do are either a preparation or a connection. For example, what we do from Kiddush till Haggadah starts, the Ikar Haggadah starts from when the kids ask a question of Manishtana. They ask, so now we could say, we could be Magid. When the kids ask the questions, you need to answer it. So the Haggadah starts from when we start answering kids' questions. Everything we do from Kiddush till that point is in order to prepare the kids to ask questions. So everything we do is as a preparation. So you have Kaddish, and you have Urchatz, and you have Karpas, and Yachatz. So Rechitza is in order to eat Karpas, because if you want to dip the vegetables, you have to wash your hands. That's why we wash our hands before we dip the vegetable. Why do you dip the vegetable? What's the point of dipping the vegetable? So the Gemara says, in order for the kids to ask. Because usually, you don't dip the vegetable right after Kiddush. Right after Kiddush comes Hamotzi. Here after Kiddush, you're dipping. Why are you dipping? Why aren't you making Hamotzi? Right? Yeah, and you're dipping twice? Usually we only eat one, we dip one time. We don't dip at all. They used to dip one time. And now you're dipping a second time. Why are you dipping? One is going to be Maror. Later on. It's in on the table. Okay, so that I understand. Why are you dipping now? So that is the reason why the kid should ask. And you have Yachatz. What's the idea of Yachatz? You break the matzah. You break the matzah. You put half of it for Afikoman. Kids are going to ask, what are you doing? You break the matzah, you don't eat it. Usually you break the bread, you eat it. You break the matzah, you don't eat it. No, we break the matzah. So what is the other half? The other half is Afikoman. You're going to eat it at the end of the meal. So it's to get the kids wonder what's going on. Then you start Maggid after Yachad. So all of this is a preparation for Maggid.
The idea is that they don't get wonder, they don't have all Seder.
Now that they need to wonder, they know the whole Seder, what you would do is you ask them the question. Right? Why do we do? Trust me, if you ask any of the question, any of the kids, why do we dip Karpas? They don't know.
They don't know.
They're going to say, you know why? Because Karpas is the Otiot, right? The Chilufi Otiot is Samech Perech. Karpas, Kaf, Resh, Pe, that's Perech, Samech, which means 600,000 people. Samech is 60, right? 600,000. Shishim Ribo, they went through Avodat Perech.
No.
Very nice remes. Okay? Or they will tell you Karpas is Ketonet Pasim. Right? The brothers dipped Yosef's Ketonet Pasim into blood, and that's how they ended up in Mitzrayim. So we dip Karpas Zecher, they went down to Mitzrayim. They wouldn't know. If you ask them, why do we have to dip at all? They don't know. So you want to ask, why? In order for the kids to ask, you know why we dip? You don't know. We dip, so you would ask why we dip. Basically,
all the derushim is not the answer why we did.
That's right. The derushim are the remazim in it. But the ikar, the reason why we did anything. You know, why? You want to tell me why we do karpas and not ifreis something else? Okay, good. That's a good answer. Samech perech is karpas. Ketonet pasim sounds like karpas. But why do you have to dip at all? Right? It is exactly what the kids ask in Manishtana. But they don't realize. Right? How come we don't dip at all? Tonight we dip twice. That is why we dip twice. So you ask why we dip twice. So once you ask why we dip twice, then okay, good, now you start asking. So I will give you.
Yachas is the same thing.
Yachas is the same thing, that's right. Why do we break half of it, put it away? Even though Alpi Kabbalah, one is for Olam Abba, the one that you hide it, it's Safun. Safun means hidden, right? That Ma Rav Tufcha Shem Safan Dolireecha. The bigger piece, you put away. Why do you put the bigger piece away? To say that the Olam Abba, the Sakhar Olam Abba, is a bigger Sakhar than what we have in Olam Hazeh. Although we have an Olam Hazeh, but we're going to get bigger in Olam Abba. Right? So, that's what they might tell you. But the equal question is, why do you break it and put half away? Well, we break it because halach ma'aniyah. Right? This is a poor man's bread. That's why it's broken. A poor guy doesn't have a whole bread. Has a broken bread. So we were avadim. And why we put the other half away? That's for Afikoman. Right? Why Afikoman? That's the Korban Pesach. Why Korban Pesach? Now you talk about Korban Pesach. All of it is to arouse their curiosity. When, although the kids know many answers in school, so they know the answers. The idea is not, the reason that they should ask, so we give the answer, is so for them to remember. Once they have the answer, if you ask them the question, then they give the answer with excitement. So that itself also would make them remember it. The idea is to create a dialogue. So don't just let them have a Devar Torah here. Okay, so say Devar Torah. Shkayach. Next, right. Don't do it like that. They say Devar Torah, ask a question. Why is this? How is this? Create a dialogue. That is the point of Magid. So everything from Kaddish till Magid is a preparation for Magid. And end of Magid starts Halel, and the Halel goes till the end of Seder. So basically the Seder means you start with Haggadah. The point of Haggadah, the point of Magid, is for us to get so excited from the fact that Hashem has done so much good for us, that when you get to Halel, you're ready to say Hashem's praise. Now, kids don't understand the meaning of it, they don't understand the Halel's meaning, whatever. But that is, this is the idea. The idea is you start with Haggadah, you end up in Halel. You start with telling the story so much, you get so excited that you praise HaKadosh Baruch. That is what's happening in Night of Pesach. Therefore, there are three focal points. Haggadah, which is Magid, discussing Yetziat Mitzrayim, the mitzvot that we have that night of eating, of different things that we eat, and saying Halel. These are the three things. Okay. Magid itself has a few components. The main component, that Magid has is what Gemara says, Matchilin beginai, Misayimin beshevach. We start with bad and we end with good. Because if you don't start with bad, you will never appreciate good. So first, what a person needs to do is to explain to his kids how bad the situation was. So the Gemara says, what do you say? So Machmir Rav Shmuel, the Ma'aseh, we do both. One Mandohamar says, we say, Avadim Anu Lefaro Bemisraim. We were Avadim to Paro. That was a bad thing. The other one says that before Avram Avinu, Mitechil Ovdei the Avodah Zarah Yavotenu. We were Ovdei the Avodah Zarah. That was where we started that. We either were Ovdei the Avodah Zarah, that was our beginning, which was bad. or our beginning was in Mitzrayim, which was Avadim LeParo. So when you talk about Avadim LeParo, you need to explain what that Avadim means. Right, the kids don't know what being slave means. They're taught, you know, something in school, they have pictures, they're whipped, and their, you know, life was difficult for them. But if you describe a few things for them to really understand what an Eved means, they have.
Do
we know ourselves? I mean, there are midrashim, there are haggadahs, there are things that talk about what Ben Israel went through.
I'm saying, what example can we say for them to understand?
For example, you could talk about as bad as Holocaust was in Mitzrayim, they were more cruel. You know, to take a kid and put it inside the bricks, a live kid, if you don't do enough number of bricks, we'll take your child and put it inside the wall.
Isn't it too much to tell the kids?
Why is it too much? Okay, so the kids don't understand what it means. You don't have to be too graphic about it. But it was bad. Right? And if they didn't do it, you know, imagine they had to go around and collect straw the whole day. You know? How about if I tell you guys, you spend the whole day tomorrow, collect all the garbage that's in the yard, or collect all the twigs that's in the yard. You know how difficult it is? You know, I'm going to tell you, clean up your toys, how difficult it is? Imagine that the people had to go around and collect in the heat, in the rain, in the summer, in the winter, in the, you know, they had to work. Imagine how many people, you know, they had to carry big stones, they had to carry whatever it is that they had to do. In a certain way, it was a Holocaust, yeah. Because too fresh. You know why it was worse than Holocaust? When Paro takes children and he cuts their head, he collects all the blood to bathe in the blood because he had tzaraat. So every day he has to kill literally a whole bunch of children.
That was the real purpose. Hitler killed everyone.
Yeah, yeah, but I know, but how did he kill him? Not to his credit, but the system of killing that he had, because they wanted to make it faster, you know, but it didn't look so disgusting. This is taking the kids and shech them and get their blood and bathe their blood. You know, things were more graphic. Things were more difficult. Or mitachilo of the Avodah Zarah, Yavotem. Right? We didn't have any culture, we didn't have any Torah, we didn't have any mitzvot, nobody, you know, we were like Indians, like people in Africa. They had no direction, they have no, you know, they make a statue and they bow down to it. That's how we were. You know, now Baruch Hashem, we have a Torah, we have a direction, we have a life. You know, we have what we do matters in Olam Haba. We get zechut, we get mitzvot. So the emet is, we're going to end up explaining it a little bit later on. But that's matchilim begenai, begenut. When saivim b'shevach is when we talk about all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. So this is the format. Now, as soon as we say that, we get into another Hakdama. Another Hakdama is how important it is to say Haggadah the night of Pesach. So first we say the four questions that the kid asks, then we give a quick answer. Avadim ainu lefaro b'Mitzrayim, we were slaves to Paro, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem not taking us out, we still would have been Avadim leParo. Right? Which the kids are going to say, well, what do you mean? You know, Paro doesn't exist. And they'll tell you a story. They all say, school gives a story to all of them. They say, they all say a story. Right? The story is that this guy, even though he was saved from slavery, but he still had a slavery mindset. They have a story for that. So even if we were not, exactly, Right. They don't say it though like that. They're politically more correct. Right? Even though Paro is not there, but we would have had the same mindset. Then, which is a big thing for the older people, especially older people, the next few parts of the Haggadah talks about how important it is to talk about Haggadah. So that part is really not a part of Haggadah. It's just to tell you how important it is, to encourage you. It starts by Afiru Kulanu Chachamim, even if we are all Chachamim, we all know Kula Torah Kula, we still have to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And then you bring a story, Ma'aseh, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Azariah, Rabbi Tafon, Rabbi Akiva, they all gather, right? Till the morning. Why do we say this? To say, you see, even this Chachamim stayed up the whole night to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Then you bring a Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu that the Torah spoke about, you get Arba Banim Divra Torah. You have four types of children. Why do we say that? How important it is in the eyes of Torah, Sibur Yisiyat Misraim, that the Torah had to say four different ways of conveying it to four types of children. We have no other mitzvah in the Torah that the Torah would give it in four different ways. Yisiyat Misraim has to be given in four different ways, different according to each child. So, if you are somewhere and the kids are falling asleep, or the adults are falling asleep, these parts do not need much explanation. They are not a real part of Ikar, part of Haggadah. It's only to tell you how important it is. But if you start darshining on these things, saying you're the Devar Torahs, and Chacham, and Rasha, and this and that, by the time you get to Ikar Haggadah, people are falling asleep. So it's Kedai to do these things a little bit more quickly, and get to the Ikar Haggadah. And the last part of the Hakdama is right at the Eno Yodia Lishol, that how early can we say Haggadah? Can we say it during the day? No. Can we start from Rosh Chodesh? No. Can we say it during the day? No. It has to be at the time that Matzah Umar or Munachim Lefanecha, which is now. So therefore now we should say Haggadah. From this point and on, Haggadah starts. Mitechila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu, that is where the Haggadah really starts.
But if you have guests and you have kids, the main focus should be the guests or the kids. Let your guests
watch how you teach your kids. They will be entertained.
Okay. Good.
If they want to ask a question, they could ask a question. You discuss it and you say it in a way that your kid would also understand. But the focus is the kids.
How do you do? You read every part with the kids? The kids read it?
No, so it's hard for the kids to read it. Right? But I tell you what I do. Okay, in the Persian style, one person reads and everybody either listens or falls asleep. Right? So what I do is I'll tell everybody to read for themselves. They just read. I read loud, and I read and I explain very quickly. Right? And I do it with a tune. You know, there's a tune that we used to do in Iran. You know, I use the tune over here. Right? So I go like this. Let's say, Mitechila over the Avodah Zarah Yavotenu, from the beginning, we're over the Avodah Zarah. The Akshav Kirvanah Kamla Avodato, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close to him. Hashem brought us close to him. You read it, but then when you translate to English, you see it more like a story to them. So even if the kid doesn't read it, they catch on the English part that is being said. Then you stop, and or one of the kids says, I have a Devar Torah, or you ask a question. And that's how we do it. This way, when you read aloud, not just read it to yourself and go like Asher Shavatech, but rather read it and translate it like that, it's more interactive. And the kids would understand it, would hear it.
How do you get the kids involved?
You ask a question. Who knows the answer to this question? I have a question. Right? I said it this morning. You have some chocolates.
Right?
And when the kids ask a good question or answer a good answer to the question, you get a chocolate. And it keeps them awake. I have a question here. You present your question. What do you say? Either they have the answer or don't have the answer. Right? If they don't have the answer, so you give the answer. You only ask questions that you have the answer for. Otherwise,
it has to be in the text.
Oh, that's right.
Rabbi, it's time to do this with the translation and get to the end of the
sentence. Yeah, we go quickly. You know, see, I always find it. You know, it's not a good thing to say, but I said it many times. I said, you know, I don't know how to say it. I said, you know, we are in Galut. Nebach, we are in Galut. But Baruch Hashem, in Galut, we have two nights of Pesach. Okay? So you can't cover everything the first night. You leave some stuff and you say the second night. Imagine people in Eretz Yisrael, they only have one night. And that's the first night is when everybody is tired. The second night is after Yom Tov, people really sleep in the afternoon. The first night, you know, so... You know, it's hard to say it like that, but so some of this stuff I do for the second night. The Ikar point that a person should focus on, we're going to get to soon. Yeah, I mean, these things I say it quickly and I translate it quickly for them to get it and move on.
The question is not like Megillah, if you miss one sentence or one part.
No, it's not a problem. The a few things though, you have to say it to be yot. Right? So one is Takanat Chazal, that you start with Genai, Mesayim Meshevach. That part we say, it's either you say, Mitachil of the Avzorei Avotenu, or you say, Avadim Ainu Lefaru Mimisraim. So that part, it's in the beginning, it won't be missed. The other thing that needs to be said is what the Haggadah says later on, that Rabbi Shmuel said that Kol Adam Shlodomach the Shlosh Dvarim Elu. Rabbi Yamriel says that anybody who doesn't say these three things, Lo Yatzei Dechodu BePesach, right? Pesach Matzah Umaru. Why did they eat Pesach? Because of Pesach. Why did Matzah? So what I get there when I say it? I read it quickly to myself, but I ask the question, right? Like I do it like this. I said, right? Pesach shoyah v'tenu melochim v'mizam v'tenu v'shchayim v'gad shumah. Why did they eat korma Pesach? Ashur shepesach ha'makom v'tenu v'yisrayim. That was because, why? Because Hashem jumped over our houses in Mitzrayim. When Hashem was killing the Bechorot, right? He jumped over the houses of the Jews. He had Rachmanut. He had mercy on the Jews. He only punished, he only killed the Bechorot of Misri.
I'm saying one thing.
Right? Shenema, as it says, Hashem jumped over the Batei Yisrael and Misri. Right? Why do we eat matzah then? You have to lift up the matzah when you say that. Why? When you have time. Oh, right. They didn't have time. When they have time, because Hashem wanted to get them out of Mitzrayim quickly. Because, you know, you didn't bring Mitzrayim. And had they waited another moment, they had really gone down. They would have been completely messed up. So Hashem really had to get them out quickly. So they didn't have time. Hashem brought them out. Right? I'll get a chance to become chametz. Why? You don't say it quickly. Your kids need time to hear it, to digest it. They made their life bitter. They hit them. They, you know, every day they had difficulty. His life was bitter. That's why we in Maror, which is bitter. Right? Because they made their life bitter. This way they wouldn't get tired at the same time you speak out. So these three things are essential to say it. And And there is one more thing that is important to say, which gets tedious, because it's drasha, but if you, this is the ikar of Haggadah, where you have to speak out, the Pesukim. The middle of Haggadah, we take four Pesukim from Parashat Kitavo, and we darshin it. Why these four Pesukim? Because in order to tell over the whole story of Yesiyat Misraim, you need to go through Parashat Shemot, Vayera, and Bo. Now you're not going to have time to do three Parashiyot, neither Pesach. All the details, that's too much. So we find that in Torah gives us an abridged version of Yesiyat Misraim in four Pesukim in Parashat Kitavo. When a person brings Bikurim, he has to tell over to Hashem what happened with our Avotenu. Right? So the Torah gives that in four Pesukim. We take those four Pesukim and we explain it. Through explaining those four Pesukim, those Pesukim are the gist, are the essence of the whole story of Yesiyat Misraim. The Torah concentrated. So you see, Yesiyat these four Pesukim. If you get these four Pesukim understood to the kids, you got it.
Okay. Fastest part of Haggadah.
Okay. Fastest saying it. Right.
Nobody understands.
Nobody understands. Right. But that is, if you could spend some time with any Haggadah, getting some Peshat and saying it, that really tells over the story, long story of Yesiyat Misraim in a very short way. Okay. And the kids would understand it.
Why does the Chazal present the Haggadah like this in order that it's difficult, you know, to... It doesn't seem like it's kid-friendly.
Why not?
What part?
The diary, you know, we darshan this and we darshan that.
No, the darshan is not... you need to know, this is the story of Yesiyat Misraim. What are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them the whole three parshiyos?
You'll tell them, why do you have to come directly from the parsha? You'll tell them and seek them what happens. You can say everything
this is the sequel.
Says... Without making the specific drashas.
This is the sikkum.
It's written like a Talmudic lashon.
Okay, the lashon of Talmudic, that's the lashon. Right?
I'm saying that isn't really... If the point of the Haggadah is to teach your kids, that's not very conducive, you know, when I'm trying to teach, you know, kids about...
If you don't know what every word in these four pesukim means, then you're not going to be able to tell your kids. So it says here, what do we say? We say, Arami Oved Avi Vayeled Misraimah. And the first thing we need to tell our kids is how we ended up in Mitzrayim. That's the first thing. Right? So you tell your kids, what are you going to say? How did we end up in Mitzrayim? If your kid is going to ask you. There are many things that says in the Torah how we end up in Mitzrayim. Am I going to tell him Mechirat Yosef? Am I going to tell him the fact that Yosef and he had a dream? Where are we going to start? How would I talk about, what would I say as an introduction of how we ended up in Mitzrayim? So the Torah says, what you tell them is, we ended up in Mitzrayim because the Goyim always want to destroy us. That's what it says. Arami Oved Avi Vayeled Misraima. Right? What is Arami Oved Avi? Right? It was Lavan Arami. Right? Say Ulman, Ma Bikesh Lavan Arami Lahasol Yaakov Avinu. Paro lo gazar la zecharim, Lavan bikesh ta'akol et ha'kol. Sheman Arami Oved Avi. It didn't start from Paro. It started from Lavan. You think Paro did bad. And Paro is not there. So therefore everything is fine. No. Before Paro, our own grandfather wanted to kill us. Our own mother's father wanted to kill us, wanted to destroy us. And we are, after Paro, we're no better off. בכל דור ודור עומדים עלינו לחלותם. So don't forget that. This is Mitzrayim. You know how we end up Mitzrayim? Because it doesn't matter where you are, the goyim are out there to get us. Kids need to know that.
So I have a problem with that line. What age can hear that line?
Every age.
They don't get paranoid or scared out there?
Baruch Hashem, now we live in a country that Hashem protects us and he makes the goyim be nice with us. But deep down, the goyim are not good at us. What do you think these movies that they make is good for us? My little 6-year-old daughter? You think the movies that they make is good for us? You think all these non-kosher food, you think all these things that they say is good for us? It's all but bad for us. You don't have to tell them they're out there to kill us physically. You know, they won't step out of the house. Baruch Hashem, we're not in that matzav. But they were in that matzav too. בכל דור ודור עומדים עלינו לחלותנו. One way or another. והקדוש ברוך הוא מצלנו מידם. Hashem saves us. Hashem loves us. Hashem protects us. You know, that's what they need to hear. It's a hashkofa. It's not just the lesson of, we went down to Israel, you want to be trying. You're teaching him the lessons of emuna, the lessons of Hashem's avat Hashem. There are a lot of important things that get conveyed over here.
So aside from the specific chazal that's brought down for each of these psukim, is it good to say other pshatim in these psukim?
If anything, you could expand upon it, yes. See, over here on Arami, I wouldn't spend more time on it.
Right.
You know, say, you know, you start talking about, you know, you could talking about, you know, Yosef's brothers, and if the kids are older, you could discuss about that. The Mechiras Yosef, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanus, that Chazal say, if it wouldn't be for the story of Yosef, Yaakov Avinu was supposed to have been brought in, Mishal Shiloh Sher Barzel. He would have been chained and be brought to Mitzrayim. So Hashem has Rachmanus, and he brought him in the Kavod. Right? Now you could tell to older kids. It depends, you know, can I get Arba when I'm Divra Torah? So yes. He went down to Mitzrayim Bimtei Me'at. No, this is the second part of the first pasuk, right? Oh, Vayered Mitzrayim. He went down to Mitzrayim. Right. So Rashi said, I mean, the Haggadah says Vayered Mitzrayim Anus Al Pi Adibur. He didn't want to go down to Mitzrayim. Hashem sent him down. So that we need to know. Hashem sent him down. Did Yaakov want to go down to Mitzrayim? No. Why not? That's the kid. Why not? Why didn't Yaakov want to go out of Israel? Did he go voluntarily? Excellent. So he wants to go to see Yosef and stay there? He said, I'll go there, see him and come back. So why did he stay there? Hashem said he stay there. He didn't want to go to Galus. Right? Eretz Yisrael was better for him. So every Jew who is in Galus, who is in Galut, why is he in Galut? Because is there Anus Al Pi Adibur? As soon as a Jew has an opportunity to get out of Galut, should get out of Galut. Vayagor Sham. And he stayed there. He never became a citizen. I always say this to my kids, to all my kids, no matter what age. I say, no matter where a Jew is, you are never a citizen. Even though legally you're a citizen, you're not a citizen. You're temporary. You're not here to stay. We're all waiting to go back to Eretz Israel. That means Mashiach comes tomorrow, you pack up and you leave. What do you mean I should give up my this and my that? Vayagor Sham. Melamed Shelo Yarad Yaakov Avinu Leishtakea Bemitzrayim. So you don't have to get into the nitty gritty of the drushes. You read it and then you speak out the message. That's the message they need to get. Once you get involved with these messages, the discussions, these areas, you tell him is the area that you go fast, these areas are the areas of discussion.
I know, I'm just saying generally people don't have the...
So don't get involved in those nitty-gritty.
No, I know the problem. I'm just speaking out the problem.
I understand. I'm saying
people have no patience.
For I'm saying
that, especially when it comes to pesukim.
Right. I'm saying instead of focusing on pesukim that people are going to get confused, focus on the message of each piece. Bimtei me'at. Right. They went with a few people, as the pasuk says. They were shivim nefesh yolad avodcha Mitzrayim. Atos sam chashem elokecha kochvei hashamayim larov. What's the message of this pasuk? What's the message? That they went down with 70? V'ata samcha Hashem Elokecha kechokvei Hashemayim Barov. It's a pasuk. Haggadah doesn't bring it. Right? It's a pasuk in Shemot. Rashi is Shemot Yedi. Yeah, Paro said, Ahon Yitzhakim Alo Pen Yirbe, and Hashem, and the Pasuk says, Asher Yanu Oto Ken Yirbe. Rashi says, Atem Omrim Pen Yirbe, and Yomer Ken Yirbe. You're saying they shouldn't become many, lest they become many. I say they should become many. Which means that no matter what they did against the Jews multiplied. So I say, it wasn't then. After Holocaust, a few people came across the sea to America. How many people immigrated after Holocaust? How many Satmar Hasidim immigrated after Holocaust? How many Babu Bar Hasidim immigrated after Holocaust? Babu Bar Rebbe? Maybe a handful. I don't know how many. 10, 20? Babu was a little village. How many Hasidim survived from it that they would make it to America? Maybe 20. Maybe 30. No, I don't think it was 30. Okay? Go to Borough Park. You know how the Babu Bar Yeshiva? A few blocks. Blocks of Borough Park. Can I hear? Just mass. How many Babu Bar Hasidim are there? Can I hear? Bells. Go to Eretz Yisrael, see what they build. It builds their base medrash. Bells is a little city. You know, people ran away. How many Bells or Hasidim ran away from Holocaust? See what they have. Yeah, this is a miracle. In 70 years, they went from nothing to gigantic. You see, Hashem is with us. Hashem always helps out the Jews. Hashem is always taking care of them. Hashem makes them, you know, prosper and get big.
Population is still the same, Rabbi.
Which population?
The Jewish population.
Nebuch, that's because all the people were getting... That's the people going off derech. That Hashem doesn't stop people from going off derech. That's the Bechira. But what Hashem is doing, you see the multiplication. It's half of a fella. So you see this, for the kids, this becomes real. It's not that in Mitzrayim, that's what happened. Yeah, give birth. Shisha b'ker ezechal. Every lady has 6 tablets. And they say to them, wow, you know. You don't understand. This is what's going on. You know, we could see it in our own eyes. In our own generation, we can see it. You bring it to life. Not only for kids, for adults. This is mind-boggling. Mamush mind-boggling. If you think about it, that in such a, you know, mamash, mere 70 years, they went from 20, 30, to a few thousands, without any 6 tablets. And not only in numbers, in money, in prosperity, in success, in advancement, you know, everything that they did. Okay, that was the first puzzle. You know, a few messages. Good. So if you don't have enough time to focus on every pasuk, so a couple of pasukim at night, and this one night, and a couple of the next night. Okay.
Or after we sing Manishtana, the other part is takes half an hour.
Yeah, you get a hang of it, you know.
It's about first
time. The idea is to get it under control, know when to zoom. When to zoom, and when to slow down, and when to... The time, the place that I really spend time on is the Asara Makot. The Asara Makot is the place to spend time upon. To make it real for them. I said it other years too. You know, when you talk about Dam, you gotta make it real. You know, it's... Imagine 7 days of stinky dam everywhere. Everywhere in Israel is dam. You know, imagine how much bugs get around it. How much mosquitoes and the stink and there's lack of water and people don't have water. You know, you start talking to them about it. It becomes a couple months ago. We in Yeshiva Lane. This is, I'm telling you, right? But I would do the same thing with the kids. You know, another similar story. Couple months ago in Yeshiva Lane, in our apartment, our boiler got messed up. So they had to change the boiler. The problem was, the company they were getting boiler from, that size of boiler, had used the last boiler that they had in stock. So they had to get a new boiler coming from Texas. They had some kind of a warehouse, something in Texas. In the middle of cold winter, and we didn't have hot water for 4 days. The first day, then after 3 days, they'd come to, they install it for 4 days. It's not easy. The kids need to take a shower. It's cold. You know, washing hands, washing face. So it was very, you know, difficult to do it. You couldn't do a washing machine. You couldn't do laundry because laundry uses hot water. There was no hot water. Right, dishwasher. You know, you need to put hot water in there. Anyway, so we went through it. Kids complained. No shower. We managed. So some kids went to the next building to take a shower. Whatever. About a month later, 3 weeks later, a pipe burst in our building. Right, there was a pipe that was from the sprinklers, and that it was a room, the boiler room was supposed to have a heater to keep the pipe from freezing, and the heater was messed up, and overnight the pipe froze. The next day the pipe burst. Water was shooting out all over. It was just ridiculous. So they had to shut down the water from the whole building. The whole water. Then the people came to fix it. They said they can't fix it. Why? Because all the water that was spread in the building, it was so cold that they all had been frozen. The water that, you know, shot all over was frozen. They said, as we are working on the pipe, right, the water keeps dripping and makes everything wet. We can't work on it. So you have to wait for all that ice to melt. So they had to put a boiler and they had to put a heater in the room. Wait for all that ice to melt and drain and dry, and then they could come and fix it. Okay? 2 days without water. Any water. So we complained about, you know, hot water. Yes, 2 days without any water. Yeah, you know, any water means that people can't go to the bathroom. How are you gonna flush?
Yeah, how are you gonna flush? 2 days.
So we had to go and schlep water from the next building, fill up the bathtubs, and from the bathtubs fill up the flush tank, and then flush, right? And you see the kids, they go to the bathroom, right? They want to wash their hands. They turn on, there's no water, right? So we also need to have a different water to wash your hands. And then different water to drink from. Imagine Misrim had to go through this for a whole week, no water. The only water that they would have is the water they would buy from the Jews, or the water that after finally Misrim went and dug up around the Yeor and they got new water. They had to do something about it. The shortage of water in the whole Misrim. In the whole Misrim, shortage of water. People don't go out of their mind. You know, it's like the kids who made themselves, excuse me, dirty. You have a lot of kids, little kids. How did the Mishnah clean them up? For a whole week? They wash them with blood? How did they do it? They didn't have wipes those days. So how did they do it? You know, when you bring it real for them, they, you know, it's really crazy. The one that I love, that I talk about, is frogs and Arov. Right? I can't get over it. I cannot get over it. Why do they have frogs? I mean, the frogs were everywhere, literally everywhere. Chazal said the guy would open his mouth to eat, the frog would jump into his mouth. What did the kids do for 7 days with those frogs? How did they survive? Hysterical. You sleep and they jump over you. You want to go to your bed full of frogs. How do you sit somewhere? How do you sleep somewhere? How do you... It jumps all over you. How do you do it? And Arov, you know, the panic that the kids would have. All these wild animals roaming around. Okay, so everybody would be panic. But the kids would be screaming the whole week. How did you manage?
And we experience Choshech here. So.
Yeah.
Choshech.
Everybody has blackout. You know, the people live through blackouts. How do they manage with Choshech? Oh, they lit candles. No, the Choshech over there, you couldn't even light candles. It wouldn't help.
Wait, I came to Boxford, you couldn't see a feet away from you. Feet away, Musa Shabbat, I came back. You couldn't see feet away, I don't know how people live there. It's crazy. I couldn't see anything. If I would turn off the light to my car, I'm like pitch black.
Pitch black, yeah.
Pitch black, I literally, I couldn't see the buildings. It's scary.
So inside the houses?
Cold.
That's what I usually spend more time on. Now, at that, for that, if the kids are tired, I leave some of that stories about the Asura Makot for after the second cup. When they're eating, you know, after Dayenu, and they woke up already, and they're eating, then you could speak out. You know,
no, you want to go to sleep.